entertaining, sport. And I thought that they had a great thing going there at the Nassau Coliseum. And then they left and went to Ottawa or somewhere.
Yeah, they did.
So I don't know. Maybe these guys will go to Ottawa next year. I don't know.
Yeah, and those guys like had to pay to play in the league. It was like crazy.
I felt like that way. But, I mean, I thought that was really, and especially with the lacrosse hotbed.
On Long Island?
The that Long Island is, you would have thought that the Riptide would have done a lot better than it did.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see how it goes. Andre Reed involved.
But it's four teams in very small communities. So where's the Morristown team playing?
Guys, do you have any idea?
All I know is that the Seeing Eye is up there.
Okay. I mean, they have to have some sort of building, indoor facility to be able to do it, right?
Yeah, what's the length of an arena field? Boom, 50?
Yeah.
I don't know. The last time I got asked to do, I'm telling you, and this is a true story, is the early 90s, I was asked to get involved in the arena team that was going to play at the Garden. And I remember, and the owner of that team, or the investor in that team, was somebody who I'm still very good friends with today, has the money, ended up getting into NASCAR instead and did really well in NASCAR. But and I told him, I said, you know, first of all, it's going to cost $100,000 just to open the Garden because of all the unions and everything. So we you know, you got $100,000 per game to open the Garden. And I said, you know, the only way I think it makes sense is if we call them, and I was big into this way back then, was we call them the New York Red Bulls, and we make their uniforms look like the Red Bull cans, and we make it a marketing deal, because I don't think we're going to get but maybe 3,000 per game if we get that many at the Garden.
Yeah.
And this was before the Red Bull soccer team.
So they stole your idea.
I talked to the guy out in San Diego who was the marketing director for the Red Bulls. He had no interest in arena football, but then lo and behold, they became an MSL team.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. 5 a.m. this morning, Ian Rappaport posted on X that the Jets' plan is to not let Aaron Glenn out of the building. They also have the general manager that is going to be there in person, Lance Meadow. Is that his name?
No.
What was his name? Lance Newmark. Lance Newmark will also be there. So that's your combo platter for the Jets, Lance Newmark and Aaron Glenn. So I would expect that to be done. If it's not done, that would be a shot to the gut of the Jets, and they'd have to look elsewhere. That's going to be something to follow the rest of the day here on WFAN. So there's that hire, potential hire, and there's also the actual hire of Peter Schwartz as the general manager of the new Long Island Arena football team. So Long Island's the only one that doesn't have a name. So I did find the exact website. It's not.
Oh, he did. It's not NFLA, because NFLA means like ear, nose, and throat.
Yeah, it's go. Something. It's goentfla.com.
Oh, goentfla.
So the teams, there's four teams: Danbury Diesel, the Fitchburg Heroes, the New Jersey Cyphers, and the Long Island team does not have a name. The Long Island Schnurs. If you look at the press release for the Long Island team and you go down to the final paragraph here, it says, familiar with the community's rich history in sports, the league has engaged WEAN radio personality Peter Schwartz.
What's WEAN?
I don't know. Maybe one of his other jobs. I don't mean, is that what Sports Bash is on?
Or maybe they meant to put WFAN there.
Oh, okay.
And they put an E instead of an F.
Yeah,
actually, the E and the F are very close on the keyboard.
Yeah, so they've engaged Ween radio personality Peter Schwartz to serve as a local advisor. In addition to his podcast and coverage of the Islanders, Peter served as a radio or in-arena voice of several Long Island-based teams, including the Dragons of the Arena Football League. He and ENTFLA officials are calling upon the community to assist in naming the team. This is Long Island's team. We want the people of this community to name it, stated League Commissioner Andre Reed.
I know what to call it. Call it the Long Island Cement.
Long Island Cement.
Yeah. Because what is Long Island? Long Island on the South Shore, beautiful beaches. On the North Shore, you got the cliffs overlooking the Sound. And then right down the middle, you got this big, long causeway of cement. And it's just, you know, it's right there. And then you got all these little communities off of that cement patch.
How about the Long Island property taxes? I mean, it's some of the highest in the country. We could do that.
We can call us maybe the Long Island plume.
Because
we got a plume underneath because of all the jet and fuel oil that was being built in Bethpage.
How about the Long Island traffic?
Traffic.
That'd be good. The Long Island traffic. How about the Long Island serial killers? We have a couple from
Those. Yeah.
I mean, now that's
call them the killers.
Long Island killers.
Yeah.
And your logo is Rex Sherman's face.
Yeah, I mean
that would be risky. But people get people's attention.
I like the Long Island traffic because you could use traffic in a lot of different ways.
Sure. Yeah.
You use traffic, car traffic, you know, trafficking, you know, all that kind of stuff that's going on around here.
The Long Island human traffickers?
Yeah.
See, that would not be good.
I don't think so.
I think that's even worse than the serial killers. I don't think you could do that, you know? But it would get some attention. It would.
What else are we known for? We're known for wineries.
You always talk about that PVC piping.
Yeah, PVC.
PVC fencing.
It's more fencing. the above ground pool, so you don't have to pay taxes. The PVC fencing that lasts for like 97 years and then has a half-life of like 150 years after that.
Yep. Yeah, Long Island above ground pools. It's got a nice ring to it, huh?
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
When anybody asks fans to name something, it just does not work out.
I mean, it's going to be sharks. It's going to be... I mean, the Riptide was good. I like that name, and I like their logo.
It was good. That was good. It was really good. Because, I mean, Riptide, Ocean, the whole thing.
Remember we had the Lizards?
We did it, which
that
made
was an outdoor,
no...
That was an outdoor lacrosse.
That deal. Made no sense. There isn't a single lizard on Long Island. Is there a lizard on Long Island?
Not that I know. Well, yeah. Sparky.
Yeah, but he's a dragon.
Yeah, but that's in that family.
A dragon doesn't exist. It's mythical.
But it's in that family.
Is there a dragon in lizard family?
In the reptile family, yeah.
I don't know. I disagree. If it's a mythical thing, you can't be in a family of something that's real.
Well, there is a thing called the Komodo dragon.
Yeah, but I mean, Sparky's not a Komodo dragon.
No, he doesn't fly and shoot fire out of his
head. I mean, you and I are Long Islanders.
Oh, yeah.
Through and through.
Right.
So what do we want to name it?
The Ball Busters.
Oh, come
the
on.
The Long Island Be Ball serious. Busters. Be serious, okay? You sure? That would make two very serious people in the studio. Everybody would leave.
Yes.
Let's see. Yeah, I mean, I threw out a couple that I really like. I love the serial killers. I think that's where we need to go.
How about Mike in Connecticut? Mike, what's happening?
What's up, guys? Longtime listener. Love your show. As always, Long Island Express. How about that?
Because like Long Island Expressway?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Other teams have used the Express, though, right?
L.A., USFL.
Mm. Yeah.
The king of Fakakta football. You should have gotten one of these jobs. You should be the Morristown GM.
Yeah, what are you doing? Get off your ass.
I mean, you love Fakakta football.
You know more than anybody or better than anybody.
You really do. So the New Jersey Cyphers, they have a general manager?
What is a cipher?
It's used to break a code.
Oh, okay.
But their mascot is an owl wearing a hat.
Because owls are smart.
What a stretch. Because owls are smart? That's why? Is there a cipher? Like, is there an owl or family owl, a cipher bird in there? Like, is a bird called a cipher?
I do not think so.
Cipher owl. Yeah, it doesn't look like it. Let's go to Blake, who's out in Wisconsin. What's going on, Blake?
Hi, yeah, long-time listener, first-time caller. Do you guys think this is going to oversaturate the already oversaturated football market in the United States?
Yeah.
You're just jealous you don't have a team.
Yeah, you're right, exactly.
Exactly. Let's go to John in Bethel, Connecticut. John, what's happening?
Gentlemen, it's an absolute honor and a pleasure to speak to you this morning.
Thank you. What's up? What's going on?
So this new league, they are starting off with tailgates before the games, and then at the end of every game, they're going to have concerts on the field.
Okay.
That's the entertainment portion of the league.
All right, so after every game, there will be a concert on the field.
Exactly. And the Danbury team is playing at the Ice Arena, home to the Danbury Trashers, now Danbury Hattricks.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
And we were just talking about the Trashers the other day. I got a Trashers jersey.
Me too.
Yes, you were.
All right. Very good. Thank you for that information. So there goes the entertainment portion of this. That makes some sense. Play
all
a
right.
football game, have a concert, huh?
Mike in Smithtown. Mikey, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on? I just wanted to let you guys know I work at 102 Duffy Avenue in Pittsville at Flagstar Bank, and there are plenty of lizards wandering around that property.
Really? In Smithtown?
Yeah, they're little tiny lizards. No, it's not. It's in Hicksville. I work
in Hicksville.
Yeah, the Hicksville is where Flagstar is based. And I'm just thinking, are they salamanders or are they lizards?
They look like little lizards. And apparently the story is that I was always told is there was some kind of shipment of like tropical little baby lizards that was sent on the Long Island Railroad heading east in like the 60s or 70s. There was a train derailment. They got out, and I don't know how they survived through the winter.
I was just about to ask you that. There's no way. I mean, do they...
I swear to God.
Do you have a picture of one of these things?
I can try to find one, but they're definitely there. They're not big. They're very small. But you see them, as soon as I started working there, I was like, what the hell is that thing? I was like, is that a lizard? How is there a lizard here?
Oh, there you go. Yeah, there you go.
All right.
So, Long Island lizards it is.
Wow. Lizards in Hicksville. They can't survive in the winter. It'd be possible. They're cold-blooded, right? Aren't they?
If you Google, are there lizards on Long Island, they're there.
They're Italian lizards.
Italian wall lizards.
That's what it says.
For real.
With gold chains and tank tops. Hanging outside of a deli.
And the top article
Smoking cigarettes.
Top article is from Hofstra University. Italian immigrants flourish on Long Island.
Really?
Yeah.
Italian immigrants meaning the lizards.
Correct.
Because I'm an Italian immigrant.
It's flourishing on Long Island.
Yeah, well, maybe there was something to that last story about a train derailment and the lizards got out, right?
I saw that as well. Yeah, an exotic lizard train derailment, and now they live here.
An exotic lizard train derailment. So maybe
Have you ever heard of this?
No, I have never heard of it. There's a lot of things I had never heard of, but just happened. I told you, you and I were talking about Long Island the other day.
Yeah.
We have some of the most beautiful places in the world to live, but man, we got a freak show going on here.
Unbelievable. The Italian wall lizard can survive colder temperatures on Long Island than in Italy. Wow.
So what's the wall lizard doing on a day like today? It's got to be buried somewhere, right?
Yeah, hibernating.
Yeah.
In Peter Schwartz's basement.
Right. It's sitting in a 7-Eleven parking lot at Centra. That's what it's doing. That is incredible. Imported Italian lizards.
So there you go. Hence the name lizards.
You know, I really had no clue. All right, I'm going to have to read that whole Hofstra University. Italian immigrants flourish on Long Island. Russell Burke, Department of Biology. That is nuts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. CeeLo, what do you think about Peter Schwartz being the GM of this new arena football team?
I think it's awesome for him. I will admit, I thought for sure that was just a made-up thing.
Why?
I mean... You said he's not picking the players, right?
He's hiring the coach, yeah.
Yeah, that... I'm just picturing that dynamic of a... So, I mean, say what you want about this league. It's still some form of football.
Yeah.
And the coach has got to have credentials. So he's going to go sit in an interview with Peter, and he's going to make that call.
That's right. Peter Schwartz.
Well, Peter Schwartz has been involved in football through his sons for a long time. He's covered football.
Okay.
I mean, you know, and he wants to hire a local coach. I don't know.
This is not a knock on Peter, but what you just said, that would be like me saying, well, I covered, that was on the Jet beat for a while, so, you know.
Why don't you become the GM in the Morristown, what are they called, Cyphers?
Cyphers, yeah, they already have a GM.
Speaking of the Jets, I mean, they're right, Florham Park, right next door to Morristown, right there in that same neck of the woods.
Yeah, so you're confused by this?
I'm a little confused, yeah.
Okay.
I'm happy for him. Assuming this is something that he, you know, is really into, which you'll find out when you get him on the air.
Just reading up on this, it sounds like pregame tailgates, football, and then a postgame concert. So I'm wondering, like, is Billy Joel going to play after one of these games, or what's going on?
I'm not sure. I don't put anything past Peter.
I bet you Mike Del Judas.
I'm sure Peter will try to get Mike Del Judas, yeah.
They're going to pay him.
Yes.
Here's what we could say about Peter. He gets things done, right? I mean, if he sets his mind on something and he wants to make it happen, he usually finds a way.
What do you think this job pays?
I couldn't even fathom a guess. I heard you say he's working for free, maybe.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't know. I don't think that's the case. There'd be way... I mean, he works. He's got a number of jobs. He's a grinder.
Yeah.
We know that about him. This, to me, sounds like it'd be way too much work and too much of a commitment to do it for free. Like, there's got to be something.
But he loves.
He's
got to
get paid.
Yeah,
he loves arena football.
I mean, how does Andre Reed, who lives in San Diego, and Peter Schwartz come together in a four-team league that is based here on the East Coast?
That's why, honestly, when I saw the post, and I admit I see Peter's posted about it on his timeline, so I should have known it was real.
Yeah.
When I first saw it over the weekend, it ended up on one of these, you know, pages or whatever, and someone showed it to me. I think it was my mother, actually. And I said, there's no, it can't be. Andre Reed, I mean, come on. This can't be real. And I said to Gio when I came in during the morning, do you think Andre Reed is even aware yet?
Yeah,
and
I think he is now.
He has to be now. That concept to me is just fascinating.
Yeah. Well, Andre Reed and Peter Schwartz are going to be making this Long Island team something special.
I mean, listen, it's great. It's great. He's Long Island through and through. He's got the experience with the Arena Football League,
sounds like the football part of it is just one thing. The concert after it sounds like it's a little bit more general appealing to different people. You know what I mean?
Sure. So
you buy one ticket, you get to come to all of these things, including a tailgate that they're selling. It looks like
you could sell me on all that with Peter, and hey, you know, local guy, and he can organize some things and put together an organization. Him sitting down and interviewing and deciding on hiring the coach is the part that's interesting to me.
Yeah, apparently he has another job we didn't know about, WEAN Radio.
Yes, I don't know where that is.
Oh, here we go. All right, Peter's going to call on next
just
segment.
Just waking up?
Next segment he's going to call. All right, yeah, he just woke up.
He just woke up?
Well,
he might have worked overnight or something.
Well, not here, but he might have somewhere else.
At WEAN?
Maybe. At Ween FM.
Peter Schwartz at the Ween.
Coming to you live, Peter Schwartz, Ween FM. Schween FM.
Schwartz and Ween. Schween.
It's Schween in the morning on Ween. Schween on Ween.
You know, I'm glad you just did that. Let's see. Have you heard this little, I'm not even going to call it a dig, this little thing Spike said on the air about this program recently?
No, I did not.
All right. So down in Philly, they do, somebody on Marash does his Cinco de Fivo. They do a top five at five in Philly. Right. And this was a couple weeks ago, but it never got to the air here. They did a top five things Spike Eskin has ruined about the afternoon show on WIP. He's there. Yeah, they're having, it's almost like a roast, right?
Yeah, yep, yep.
So one of the things, I forget if it was number two or number three on the list was
Top five things you ruin about the afternoon show on WIP.
WIP, since
right,
he's
so
gone
not,
back there.
Not ruining the afternoon show here.
Correct.
Okay,
so since he's gone there to become an on-air guy, yeah. So they are criticizing him for bringing a lot of D-talk to the show down there, I guess, which is something that they weren't doing a lot prior. I can't say the word. D-talk. You just said Schween.
Oh, okay.
Did they
say that word?
What's that?
They say the word?
Maybe not the word, but references to it.
Okay, gotcha.
Kind of like you just made.
All right.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
I do know this. If I was the program director of me,
yes,
I would be on edge.
Oh, yes. Can you imagine Spike?
Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah.
I would. Well, when I was, the morning show in New York is way worse than I am. And when I got there, I was like, what are these guys doing? And then eventually I just got numb to it and I stopped talking to them about it. I would say once every 6 months I would go into the producer. I'd be like, hey, you can't say that, you know?
Yeah.
But yes, so. It would be a nightmare. I would not want to be the program director.
So it was almost like a tribute, but at the same time, like, well, I got it from them. I'm kind of placing
skinny vegan hipster.
Yeah. As you talk about stuff like that, I guess, right?
Yeah. Like, I was exposed to it up there, so naturally I kind of brought it down here, whether I was aware of it or
see,
not.
See, in that instance, imitation, the purest form of flattery.
Exactly.
Not when I'm doing a voice of somebody and people say imitation. No, no, no. That's me, like, kind of mocking sometimes people. But this type of imitation is the most sincere form of flattery.
Yeah, because he saw a successful show, and he saw guys that actually really liked each other and loved coming to work.
Right.
And he
talked a lot about penis.
And he's trying to recreate that down there at WIP.
There you go. Hey, Al, do you remember Spike coming in every 6 months or so saying you can't say that?
I remember him coming in at least once where something was going on where he was... But he just kind of threw his... He did like what Chernoff would do, just throw their arms up and walk out.
Yeah, right. I love that.
What do they do?
Yeah, well, but again, classic PD. Come to us instead of going to you guys. Who said it?
That is very true. That
But you're the producer.
How many times I heard that?
Well, then he could just blame it on them. It's like, I came to you and let you know I didn't care for this. So if you want to continue, I'm going to just throw you right under the bus.
I used to wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, sit up in bed going, you're the producer. No.
What are you doing?
No,
what
stop. What are you doing?
Why?
All right. Anyway, CeeLo, what else do you got?
All right, well, first, we're brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by ServPro, cleanup, restoration, and construction. Visit ServPro.com. So while Peter Schwartz is tasked with picking the head coach of this new Long Island Arena Football League team, his favorite pro football team, the Jets, is still trying to pick their new head coach, and there is lots of traction picking up for former Jet and Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn. You had the Ian Rappaport tweet this morning. Mike Garofolo now says the Jets right off the bat. Speaking to Glenn today speaks to his interest in them and theirs in him. He spent part of yesterday communicating with prospective assistant coaches to join him, with many believing the destination will be Florham Park. You got that. Brian Costello, who last week said Glenn was telling people that the Jets were his preferred destination, says that it's felt like he was the favorite since Mike Vrabel went to New England. Can the Jets close the deal? And Zach Rosenblatt tweeted a little while ago, something to note, there are many Jets players who have privately expressed excitement at the prospect of Aaron Glenn being their coach. If and when he is hired, he will be received well in the locker room. So take that for all that it is. You'll have him and Lance Newmark for the GM job going for their second interviews today. You've been against Aaron Glenn for the reasons you've explained. Our guy Mike Fliegelman has been very anti-Aaron Glenn for this job. And I thought he made an interesting point about Newmark being roped in as the GM. He goes, the guy doesn't even have a Wikipedia page, which is rare in today's day and age. When you talk about football executives.
He doesn't?
He's got a profile page on the Commanders website because he works for them.
Yeah.
But if you Google his name, looks like no Wikipedia page. And usually you can pull up something on these guys.
Yeah.
And it'll give you the breakdown of where they were year to year and what their roles were.
Yeah, you're right.
I will say that if the players are all excited about it, that's a good thing. You know, hopefully they will play hard for him. They'll listen to him and you know, they'll come ready to go to work. I mean, that's going to be, you know, that's always the big question mark as to whether or not the players are going to respect the guy who's standing in front of them.
100%. Now, your boy Chris Sims on with Kay Adams up in Adams is in lockstep with Boomer's take from yesterday morning. Yes, Mark Andrews bears responsibility for dropping the two-point conversion pass against the Bills Sunday, but that throw from Lamar Jackson, not so great.
He played right here. This is perfect.
Okay.
Throw it. It's too late. Lamar Jackson's making $55 million a year. That ball needs to be on time, and it was not accurate. Mark Andrews needs to catch it. Don't get me wrong. But Lamar Jackson's making $55 million a year. He double-clutched it and threw it like a dart.
All right, so you got that, like you said. Now, further reaction on that game from Bill Belichick, his Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray, featuring Tom Brady as their guest for yesterday's installment. And Belichick, I guess, has been banging this drum most of the season. He feels the Ravens might be the best team or the most talented team
in
the league.
I think we all felt that way.
Okay, all right. Well, earlier in this clip, I had to trim it down, said, yeah, I've been saying this all year. Hey, they just keep beating themselves.
I think when you look at it, the Ravens aren't saying, well, we got beat by Buffalo. They really outplayed us. I think they're saying, we had some easy opportunities and we just screwed them up, and that's heartbreaking when that happens.
Tom, give us the trademark line. You can't?
I used it on the air the other day. I said, hey, my old coach used to say you can't win till you can keep from losing. And that's the reality.
I swear this guy.
Turnovers, man.
This guy, and I know we see him on TV every week now. It's different when he's all makeuped up in the suit with Burkhart. You see him on the Zoom yesterday. He legit looks like he's 25.
Like, yeah, it's amazing, especially if you don't have like a clear HD thing and it's a little bit blurry because it's Zoom. I mean, it's, yeah, he's got this, whatever he's doing, it's probably not legal in the U.S.
He's like,
you know what I'm saying?
Like real life Benjamin Button. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, there are a lot of people that are into the anti-aging thing.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing it better than Tom Brady.
No.
Nobody.
Definitely not. I mean, right, the hair, too, is phenomenal. But
could you live like that, though?
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, you don't eat anything bad. Yeah, you don't drink anymore.
The sacrifices it takes to do that. Yeah. I think we all know
the answer. I mean, the answer is no. I certainly could not.
You
kidding me? They have, like, tequila twice a year?
Tequila
twice a year? Come on. The answer is no.
Avocado ice cream?
Oof.
Exactly.
Be tough. Bad scene. Let's see. Can I give you one more thing before we go, or no?
Yeah. Go ahead, quick. Is it worth it?
That's a no. All right, Boomer and Geo.
I mean, I have good stuff, but it's too long.
All right,
so we'll
very
do
good.
Next hour.
All right,
next
sounds
hour.
Good.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've been talking about it. Our own Peter Schwartz named the general manager of a new arena football team that is coming to Long Island. They're going to play at Nassau Coliseum. It's a four-team league. The team has not been named yet. Of course, hearing Peter Schwartz being the general manager of a football team surprised a lot of us. Because Peter, being in the same business as us, not generally in the front office of team building, but he has joined us to explain some of what is going on. First of all, Peter, congratulations. I know that you love yourself some arena football. Now you get to build a team.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Good morning, guys. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I can't wait to get going here in a couple of weeks.
Hey, what's the radio station Ween?
I'm sorry?
You're in your bio on the website, it says that Peter Schwartz, who works for Ween, W-E-A-N.
I didn't see that. It's obviously a typo. I didn't write it, so okay. I don't take any responsibility for that.
Oh, all right, but it's not Ween.
So you don't have another job working at Ween?
No, I don't. I don't know what that is. I'd have to go check that. I didn't write the press release.
We nicknamed it Schween.
somebody obviously didn't proofread that.
All right. Yet. So how's the coaching search going? Because you told us that you are in charge of hiring the coach.
Yeah, I have a short list, and we'll cast a wide net, and we're going to find a local coach with Long Island roots that we think it's going to be a community-based team, and we're going to like to have a lot of former Long Island high school football players. Not to say that if there's players that come to tryouts that are from outside the market, they would be cast away. But we want the team to be local. We want local players so that the community is engaged with them. And the concept is like a player. Maybe like a Jack Cohn that played for Sayville. You know, if he's not playing in the NFL and he wants to play locally, maybe that's who the coach wants to bring in. And that's the type of player that we want, so that people can engage with the team that's from the community.
So what is, if the coach you hire has another job, like if it's a high school football coach, but in June and July and August, he's not going to be doing as much, or July and August, and maybe before their training camp starts, you would have that guy coach and also keep his other job? Or are you looking for someone that this is going to be a full-time job for them?
It's a four-month job from May through August. So the training camp will be in May. The season starts in June. The playoffs are in August. So conceivably, a high school coach on Long Island that wanted to have, like, I guess it's like a teacher, it's a camp counselor over the summer. If they want to, if they're interested in doing this and for a four-month period, then certainly, a top Long Island coach that would be interested in the job could certainly, inquire about it. But that's the type of person with a coach locally that's got ties and has the knowledge of players that were from Long Island, went on to play in college somewhere, and now would like to be a part of this new team.
When do you expect to name the new head coach?
We would like to get the new coach named by next month. We're going to have a another event next month here on the island to name the team and the colors and the logo. So we hope to have the new coach in place sometime by late February.
When do the players get to try out, and where do they go? Where will they go to try out?
Well, that information will all be announced later on, and the website is goentfla.com, and we'll be putting that out there. As soon as the coach is hired, we'll announce when tryouts are going to be, and I'm sure the coach is going to do his own recruiting of players he wants to bring in, but there's going to be a local tryout, and I think there's also going to be like a league-wide, you know, combine for the all four teams will be at to pick players from.
And by the way, how many players on a team?
It's an 18-man roster, and the interesting thing about this, it's arena football, but some modified rules from, like, you know, when the Dragons played in the Arena League. So it's 7-on-7, and there's no kicking. So it's four downs of play no matter where you are in a 20-second play clock. So no kicking, no nets, no goalposts. It's just straight football, 7-on-7.
All right, let's get to the important stuff here. How did this come about? Did they reach out to you, or did you pepper the league for an interview and then they just couldn't say no because you are you, you know?
They reached out to me. They actually reached out to me through somebody who I know that worked for the old original Arena Football League when I worked for the Dragons.
Wow.
And that person has another job in football right now, and they reached out to me. We need somebody in the Long Island market that can help us launch the team, because we had a press conference last Wednesday at the Coliseum, and they needed someone to help them, you know, invite guests, you know, media and things like that to the press conference. So they reached out to me to bring me on as a local advisor. And then when 85 people, you know, showed up between politicians and media and local businesses, right after the press conference was over, the owner and the league advisor, Tommy Benicio, is the league advisor, and Douglas Freeman is the owner of the league. They pulled me into another room and they wanted to talk to me about becoming the general manager.
Wow.
Yeah, I know some people.
I'm getting chills here, Peter. I really am. The way you described that, I mean, it's just like, I know how much of a moment that was for you.
The idea was floated when we were planning the press conference, and just, you know, the way that a general manager is for this league, it's not like the Jets are looking for a GM. I'm not picking the players. I'm not putting the scouting department together. I'm not, you know, this is not like the Jets looking for a GM. This is more akin to, you know, a minor league baseball general, like being the Long Island Ducks GM. I mean, you're basically, you know, you're hiring the, you know, the coach or the manager, but a big part of the job is also, you know, sales and bringing in corporate sponsors and, you know, selling season tickets and group tickets. And I'll hire a coach. I'm going to be hiring a director of sales and a director of entertainment. So that once I hire the coach, my football operation.
You got some appointments to make, man.
Yeah, wow, you are in charge, large and in charge. By the way, will you become the voice of the team over the loudspeaker as the game is going on as well?
No, I think we're going to hire a public address announcer, and we're working on a streaming deal, so I'm sure we're going to hire a play-by-play announcer. I think
Netflix involved? Netflix involved in the streaming deal?
I don't know if Netflix is involved, but we're definitely going to have some sort of broadcast platform. And I think that chapter of my arena football life is probably over. So I'm going to look to hire the next Long Island arena football play-by-play announcer.
All right, very good. So you got a lot of appointments. You're basically like Trump on day one. I mean, just naming people, doing things.
Signing executive orders. Yeah, you go get them, kid.
Right. So is this a full-time job for you?
It is a full-time job. Yeah, actually, I think I'm starting officially fully next Monday. There will be an office in the Nassau Coliseum. I saw the office space there last Wednesday. We have a nice office there.
You're going to have a big desk with, like, Peter Schwartz, your name on it?
I don't know if I'll have my name on it, but I'm sure I'll find some old Dragons jerseys in the closet.
So you're going to have an office. You're going to have a Peter Schwartz general manager's office.
I have a desk. I don't know if it's exactly going to be like this one big giant office space. But
how many bobbleheads are you going to jam on that desk?
I got a few from the Dragons days. I think we'll throw some on there. Yeah. Maybe I'll get the Boomer. I have a couple of Boomer bobbleheads. Those will go on the desk.
Unbelievable.
When does Bradley start playing for you guys?
Well, first of all, he's got 3 years of college eligibility left.
Yes.
And as I said, there's no kicking, so there's no long snapping. So he was already inquiring about, well, you know, if things don't work out the way he'd like them to, you know, he'll just go back to playing center like he used to back in the day.
Yeah, he could do that. How much are these players going to make, by the way? Is everybody on the same salary, or how's this work?
Yeah, I'm still trying to process a lot of information as this all just happened in the last few days. But, you know, this apparently this is going to be, you know, akin to like the old days of the AFL. I think the players are going to make, you know, a few hundred dollars a game. I know there's a budget for the coaching staff. So it's definitely going to be, you know, a weekend warrior kind of thing where, you know, the players are going to have, you know, still have to have a full-time job, which is a big reason why we want local players, because then they can go get their own, you know, full-time job. They can practice a couple of nights during the week with us, and then you'll play the games on the weekend, and all the teams are basically local, so there's not a lot of travel involved. So it's definitely a league where players who are going to play for the love of the game and just want to continue playing football. And there's already a big, you know, interest. A lot of players, a lot of coaches have already been reaching out to league management, you know, since the announcement of the team happened. And now that's going to fall on my shoulders.
Yeah, Peter, are you going to be able to do all these other jobs? I mean, being a general manager in town of a professional sports team, I mean, you're going to be able to work here at WFAN? That seems like a conflict of interest. Also, Sports Bash. I mean, there's a lot of things you're putting in jeopardy here.
Well, no, the league has been very accommodating to me when I was talking to them. I told them that, you know, working at WFAN is very important to me. It was always a dream job, you know, growing up wanting to get into the business. So I am going to continue to work at the Fan on the weekends. You know, I work my two regular shifts are Saturday mornings and Sunday nights. So I can still do both of them. I can still do one of them. We get closer to the season. We're probably going to have a lot of, you know, local community events, and a lot of them are going to take place on Saturdays, like football clinics and just making appearances at, you know, PAL events and things like that. So I think there'll be a point where I probably, you know, not surrender it, but I probably won't be working on Saturdays as much. And then, you know, during the week, obviously it's going to be hard to come in, but if you guys call me and I can get enough notice, I think we could work out a Boomer and Geo fill-in shift once in a while.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you've come a long way from having ranch dressing dumped on your head at Boomer and Geo 1 to what you've become here. Hey, let me ask you...
you know what's funny? Peter's a GM and Joe Douglas isn't.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, so Douglas Freeman is the owner of the entire league. He's a singular owner of all four teams. Like, what's his background? Where's he from?
So he's, you know, he's originally from New York. I think he's based in Delaware now, but he's a return on investment specialist. He's put together, you know, a strong business team. He's invested in other businesses, and he wanted to, you know, put an indoor football team together. This is kind of like a spinoff of another indoor football league that launched last year, a little further out west, called the Arena League. And Tommy Benizio, who's this league's advisor, started that league as well. Actually, Tim Brown, another Hall of Famer, is the commissioner of that league. So Doug reached out to Tommy and said, I'd like to start my own arena league in the Northeast. And that's how this got off the ground. And they reached out and they found Andre Reed, and he was interested in coming on as the commissioner. So the vision here, with his business background and entertainment background, is to create a real fun atmosphere during the course of the day. So every home game, the four home games at the Coliseum, will be a tailgate party.